Jesus is alive and His power is available to you. Today on the Believer's Voice of Victory, join Gloria Copeland and special guest Billy Brim as they conclude this week's teaching, Tapping into the Dunamis Power of God. Now here's Gloria.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory. This is Gloria Copeland, and my friend Billy Brim is here, and she's been sharing some great things with us. So if you missed any of it, go to the internet and catch up. Welcome, Billy.
Praise the Lord, Gloria. And today we're going to talk about Mark 16, because Jesus told us that believers should have signs following.
That's right.
And signs means that what you're saying is truth. So there'll be a sign that God will work to corroborate or confirm. Like it says right here in 16:20, the Lord, they went everywhere preaching, and the Lord working with them, confirming the word with signs.
In other words, they were preaching
the word. They were preaching the word, and the Lord confirmed the word with signs.
Yeah, that's right.
So we do that, and we don't have to perform the signs.
No.
We can't perform the signs. We can yield ourselves to speak in tongues. We can yield ourselves to speak to people that are bothered by demons or cast demons out of the way. And it said, these signs shall follow them. This is chapter Mark 16:17. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues and so on and so forth. But we're going to talk about devils. There are devils in the earth. They are the henchmen. They work for Satan.
That's right.
Lucifer. He's the chief devil.
And Satan's not omnipotent.
No, he's not omnipotent nor omnipresent.
No.
And so he's got all these little guys that run around and obey his orders. And and most of the time you don't deal with Satan himself.
Right.
You're dealing with some low-level devil. In this book right here, The Blood and the Glory, I had heard so much about the glory of God being manifested, and then I began to see things happening to believers. And the Lord's, I needed to know why. And the Lord said to me, you preach about the end times, don't you? And I said, yes. And he said, what did I tell you the devil would be doing in the last days? And I knew where to look. I knew to look in the book of Revelation. In the book of Revelation and chapter 12, it says, the devil, verse 12, the devil is come down unto you having great wrath because he knows that he has but a short time. And this is the word meaning time in the Greek. That's an appointed time.
Mm-hmm.
He knows the
certain
date.
Time.
He knows the date that his lease is up. He knows the date that Adam's lease is up. He knows the date that he is going to be thrown out and put to the pit. But, we don't know it, but he does, and he's fighting desperately to keep it from happening. So he's got what the Bible calls great wrath.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, oh, I see it, Lord. I see why these things are happening. We haven't seen the glory yet. He said, now go up a verse and see what I told you to do about him. So I went up a verse, verse 11, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. And it tells you in verse 10, he's the accuser of the brethren. He accuses us before God day and night, and he accuses us to each other. He accuses us to ourselves. But they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. And I tell you, Gloria, when I wrote this book, and it is a book about the blood and the power of the blood over the devils that would allow the glory of God to manifest. And when I did this book, I actually heard mothers, I heard this by the Spirit. I heard mothers in an inner city location, and they were not able, they could not afford to get out of their neighborhoods. And their neighborhoods were drug infested. People in there selling drugs, dealing drugs on the corner. And they had young kids growing up, but they couldn't afford to move. And I heard them crying out to God, what am I going to do? And so then the Lord led me to write this book on the blood and the glory. It's been 20 years. But the message doesn't change.
Right.
You still overcome the devil by the power of the blood of Jesus. And so this book is about it. It's going into detail, pleading the blood. How do you do it? Well, It's not like a rabbit's foot that you carry around. It's like a legal case you lay before the Lord. Pleading is you enter your plea. And your plea is the blood of Jesus.
That's right.
And that blood of Jesus, I tell you, I sit up. We have been given authority. Jesus gave to us authority. God raised us up when He raised Jesus up. He seated us at the right hand of the Father. Jesus has authority over all principality, power, might, dominion, and we have authority. In fact, He gave us the authority on the earth over all the power of Amen. The demons. He told us in Matthew 28, all authority is given unto me. Go
both
ye
in heaven
therefore.
And earth. Yeah.
Yes. So He gave us both in heaven and earth. And then He passed, right in the next verse, He passed the authority on the earth over to believers.
You go in my name.
You go in my name and you take authority over the devils.
Sure.
I asked the Lord, how in the world could this happen? And He really answered me out of 1 Peter 5:8. And so let's go to 1 Peter. And I said, Lord, how is it that the devil, I saw deaths happening that shouldn't have happened, car wrecks.
Mm-hmm.
I saw things going mm-hmm. on, actually your niece being killed.
That's right.
And that's when I really started seeking Him about these things. And He showed me 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. Whom yeah. resist steadfast in the faith. Now, I happen to have a little book by Mrs. C. Newsom. This was the first book that Brother Hagin read on faith. I have quoted heavily from Mrs. C. Newsom's book. Because Brother Hagin said, you should, in the name of Jesus, plead the blood of Jesus. And he said the old timers knew something about it that the present day Christians don't seem to know. So I went back to those old-timers who knew, and I found a lot by Sister Newsom. And I quoted in her book here about how she took authority over the devils with the blood and the name mm-hmm. of Jesus. And she quoted this scripture, be sober, be vigilant. Now, vigilant means watchful. And she said this, there is not one hint in the Bible that we should ever be overcome by the devil, but we are to overcome him.
That's right.
But she said the price of constant victory is constant watchfulness. This word, be vigilant, is watchfulness. So you put up a constant watch, a constant vigil,
Amen.
And you keep the devil, that roaring lion, away from those in you and your household that they're trying to devour. And in this book, I go into great detail about how you can plead the blood. I get up every morning and put a chuppah of the blood over my family. I get in the car and I say, in the name of Jesus, I cover this car, bumper to bumper, side to side, top to bottom, every part working and non-working with the blood of Jesus Christ. Nothing shall bump me and no one, and I shall bump no one and no thing. And I haven't ever had a wreck in years and years and years. Years and years and years and years. Back to the 60s. And then this book, The Authority of the Believer, tells you how you have authority over the devil, and how you can exercise that
Amen.
Authority. Brother
Hagin. That's part of being vigilant.
That's part of being vigilant. You're sitting up there. You're watching every single day. Bless the Lord. Being watchful. The Bible tells us in James 4:7, resist the devil and he will flee from
That's
you.
Right.
There is a devil to resist. That's James 4:7. Write it down. But this word flee means run from as if in terror.
That means don't. That's the opposite of cooperate.
That's the opposite
resist
of cooperate.
The devil.
Resist him.
Yes.
Don't cooperate with him. Don't sit in front of things and look at things with your eyes that let devils
no.
in. Don't look at pornographic pictures on the computer.
That's
don't
right.
don't take his thoughts saying. In other words, I think we should look at Ephesians 4:27. Ephesians 4:27 says, neither give place to the devil. You can give a place
right.
to the devil. Where do devils try to get in? They try to get into you through your mind. They'll give you little thoughts. But the Bible tells us, cast down imaginations.
That's right.
Take authority over all the thoughts. Let me see if I wrote that cast down imagination. 2 Corinthians 10:5. The mind is the arena of faith. You'll fight your faith fight against the devil within your mind. He tries to attack the mind. That's the only way he can get in through you. One of your eye gates or your ear gates, mm-hmm. and he'll enter by giving you thoughts. Now, every evil thought, you didn't dream it all up yourself. He sits on people's shoulders. He whispers in their ears. Every suicide is demons on the shoulder,
right.
talking to people and saying, well, you ought to show them they don't love you. If you were dead, everything would be all right. All your troubles would be over. He'll even give you a picture of your funeral. There's your mom and daddy, teenagers. There's your mom and daddy. They'll be sorry they did that to you. They're so sad. Now just kill yourself. You'll be over this. The world will be a better place. You'll be in a better place. All of which are lies.
That's right.
But if he sits there and talks to you on that shoulder, don't let him in. You should teach your young people.
That's right.
You say, no, in Jesus' name. I go and teach young people a lot. I speak to young people a lot. I'll have them raise their hands. How many of you have ever had a devil speak to you and tell you you should take your own life? I would say 2/3 of the group raises their hands. Christian kids. Christian adults. How many of you have had thoughts of suicide? Well, it doesn't mean you thought the thought. He can shoot like Cupid, that little Cupid. There's no real little Cupid. But you know how he shoots his arrows into people, supposedly? Well, that's the demon. I'm not saying Cupid is a demon, but demons are like that. They shoot thoughts in you. The Bible says, take no thought saying.
Right.
You take thoughts by saying them. You don't have to think the devil's thoughts after him. You have control over your thought life, like it says in Philippians. Think on these things, good, pure, what's good and pure and lovely. The Word of God is good and pure and lovely.
That's right.
And so you don't think those thoughts after him.
And it says, resist.
Resist the devil and he will flee from you.
He will
you.
Flee.
Now the devil drives you.
That's right.
I hear Christians
Pressures
saying
you.
That they're driven. I don't really like that. The Holy Ghost leads. The devil drives. You're driven of the devil. And my husband, Kent Brim, gone to be with the Lord now. And his family, his mother and father, didn't start going to church until he was like 16 years old. One day he's sitting at our table in Collinsville, Oklahoma, our round table. We're listening to a cassette by Fred Price, and it's called The Mind, the Arena of Faith. And we listen all to it, and he talks about having to fight devils in your mind, and that's where you win the good fight of faith, and devils will try to tell you this and this, but you win that, you take that word and win the fight of faith. Kent said, oh, I wish I'd known that. And I said, what are you talking about? He said, when I was a little boy, this voice came to me, and it would say, your daddy has guns. He has guns in this house. Why don't you take those guns and just kill your mother, your father, because he would spank him really hard. Why don't you just kill your father? You could kill all of them. And he loved them all. And it was beyond his comprehension. And that voice would come to him. He'd lay down his head at night.
More
and that
than
voice,
once.
Oh, yeah, night after night. So here's what he did. Kent just entered himself into the realm of sports. He practiced. He did everything. He was a great athlete. But he drove himself night, day and night practicing sports. And he told me, he said, I did that, Billy, so that when I went to bed at night, I'd be so sleepy, that voice couldn't have speak to me. That's the way he resisted it. Even normal people.
He didn't know how to resist it.
Even normal people can resist devils.
That's right.
They don't have to give in to devils. They're humans. And they don't have to be run around by devils.
That's right.
So then he said, when I got, and he's telling me this, sitting at the table, he said, then when we got married and we lived in Inola, Oklahoma, and he said, that voice came back. You see, now he's born again. Mm-hmm. Not spirit-filled yet, but born again, going to church all the time. And this voice comes to him, and we had a lot of financial problems. And this voice, same voice, comes back and says, you've got those guns in there. Why don't you just kill yourself? You can kill your wife and your
same
kids.
Devil will
same
still
devil.
Around.
You can, same devil came back to the house that's now clean and swept and garnished, but it's empty.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't know all these things about being spirit-filled. He doesn't know about there's devils out there. We happen to go to a church that doesn't even talk about devils. And so he said, this voice came to him and said, there's those guns in there. You could kill your wife and your children, and you could kill yourself. Mm-hmm. And then she wouldn't have to face all the financial problems if you kill yourself. So here's what he did. He said, Billy, I fell down on my knees at our kitchen table in Inola, and I started saying the Lord's Prayer. See, now he's born again. So he starts saying, Our Father, which art in heaven. And the part of that prayer says, deliver us from evil.
Uh-huh.
And he said, I got up from there, and I went and got those guns, and I sold them.
Well.
And they were valuable. And his dad said, son, I know you've got some financial pressure, but he said, you didn't have to sell your guns. I would loan you some money. But he didn't tell his father the real reason why he sold those guns. Now, when he's sitting there listening to Fred Price on that tape, he's knowing, I could have resisted the devil and he would have fled from me in the name of Jesus. I could have used the blood. But he didn't know to do it then. Now, I want to talk about anorexia. I have dealt with people. In dealing with devils, you use exousia and dunamis. You use authority, and then sometimes you need the dunamis. You can just use the authority in your own life and cast those out in front of you and your own loved ones. But I have dealt with some people with anorexia. And I was working for I was doing a book for Brother Sumrall, and he got this call to go to this girl that was anorexic. Her parents were wealthy, wealthy people. But she lived down in the basement. She never came out in the light. She's a teenager. And she's down there not eating, starving to death. And they got Brother Sumrall to come over there and minister to her. Sometimes it's that you need to go that deep.
Mm-hmm.
And Brother Sumrall went over there, and he told me that day, he said, anorexia is always the case of devils. Hopping on the shoulders, talking to the people. But then if you give him place, he will come inside you and take, and he will, he's been out there oppressing you, but he will obsess your mind, and you'll become obsessed with these things. And if you go long enough, he can possess your spirit, but that's a very rare case that can happen. Now, I went up into the north in the cold of winter, and they brought in a little girl up there who was anorexic. And she was facing death. And I asked her if she wanted to be free. You cannot cast the devil. You don't have authority over human wills.
That's right.
You only can help people who want to be free. But she wanted to be free. She didn't want to die. And so she came there, and we dealt with that demon as if it were a demon. Cast it out of her. There was no evidence of it that it came out. Sometimes, now I had been involved with the casting out of a demon once where there was evidence. Slime came out of a mouth. But green slime. But you don't have to have that. And if you always are looking for it, the devil will oblige you. He just absolutely loves attention. But you can go by the Holy Ghost. Is this a case that somebody wants to be free? That girl wanted to be free. We dealt with that demon. We cast that thing out of her. And I went back to that same place the next, and I told them, I follow the Holy Ghost. I said, what shall I tell her next? He said, she likes ice cream. Tell her to go over there. This was in like a restaurant and in a room that was next to it where we were meeting. Tell her to order a bowl of ice cream and eat it. Now, she hadn't been eating anything. So she went over there, and I watched her eat that ice cream. And she just had to, like, gag it down at the first. Then she got more where she was able to eat it. Next year, I came back. This plump, beautiful little darling comes up and says, you don't know me. I said, no, I don't. Have ever met you? Yeah. Last year, you cast the devil out of me. Sometimes you can always deal with authority because you have authority. But sometimes you need the dunamis. And once there was a young man, and he loved God. He'd been used by God. He'd been in the ministry. And a homosexual devil took him over. And he had developed AIDS. And I was in a meeting, and he came in the back door. I didn't recognize him. But somebody said, there's so-and-so. They said, he's dying of AIDS. He came in that back door because he wanted to be free.
Yes.
We were all, the ministry team was going to go out to eat. And he came down the hallway. We all knew him. He came down that hallway and I looked at him. I said, "Do you want to be free?" "Yes." And over me came dunamis. I said, "Excuse me." I left the ministry team there, and they were much more experienced than this and I. We went into the pastor's office. I started ministering to him. I can only tell you that a power, a dunamis, came on me and threw us around the room and knocked vases off the shelves, the pastor's shelves, knocked books off the shelves, and he got free. And I'm telling you, he's absolutely free. He became totally healed, and he's in the ministry today.
My God.
Bless the Lord. Now, in this book, The Blood and the Glory, I give examples in there of Chip when he was at college, and how a bunch of athletes that were living together in a house, they'd go home every night and every appliance would be turned on. The mixer, the TV would be blaring. Wow. Every single thing would be going every single night. They call me scared. One night the Grim Reaper appeared.
The mixer?
The Grim Reaper with his scythe and everything. Said he's going to kill them. Oh, man, those big old athletes, they ran down to the nearest store. They didn't have a phone. They called me, "Mother, they peep like little mice." And they told me finally what it was. And I said, "Oh, that's just low-level devils. Well, that's nothing high. You don't even need dunamis. That's low-level devils. You just need to take authority. You go in that house and clean it out." And so I said, "Get you some oil." They got them some oil, pooled their money, bought some oil. And you, devils don't need doors and windows, but you anoint them. They never had the trouble anymore. They were gone. Low-level devils you can get rid of. Devils are easy to get rid of, to tell you the real truth, but you have to do it.
That's right. You have to take authority in the name of Jesus. Billy and I'll be right back.
Before you're seated, I want you to shake hands with at least three people. Now listen to me. And say, "Our time has come."
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Oh, we magnify.
Hallelujah.
And we praise your name. Say hallelujah.
On the way here, we really prepared ourselves in the Word and listen to tapes, and we just were really coming expecting to hear the voice behind the message. I mean, we just wanted to hear the voice of God for our destiny and the calling of God on our life.
Your moment has come and your time of increase has happened, because whatever it takes to prosper and empower that next door neighbor is going to come through your hands. It may be the loaves and the fishes multiplying for his table. It may be all of these different things. There's only one thing you need, and that is the Word of the living God. God will make the blessing.
My life has not been the same because of Brother Coleman. They mean the world to us. Yeah. Being partners with them means everything to us. We love you, Brother Copeland, yes. Sister Gloria.
Jesus has redeemed us from the curse, from every sickness, every disease. If they come up with new diseases, he's redeemed us from it. So what are we going to do? We're going to receive our healing.
You didn't come here this morning just to get your miracle and be well and go on out and do whatever you were doing before. No, 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 sir. No, ma'am. You came here this morning not to just get your miracle, not to just be made well, but to get your marching orders for your destiny and for your future as a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ, as a witness to the fact that he is alive.
It's like standing under a waterfall and watching everything flow down on us, blessing after blessing.
You're part of the answer, my brother and sister. Your time has come. It's time for it to flow on you, through you, around you, and because of you. Lord, I'll tell you, we release an overflow into this church that's beyond anything this city has ever seen, beyond anything this state has ever seen, in the name of Jesus, and we thank you for it.
I always love the Branson meeting. You don't want to miss those meetings in Branson ever. Just put it on your calendar right now. Next year I'm going.
Billy and I are going to receive the offering today, and we're going to pray over your finances. Poverty is of the devil. Poverty is an evil spirit that comes upon you if you let it. There are evil spirits at work in poverty. Mm-hmm. And you just have to learn how to be a tither and a giver and a sower and say, not here. Mm-mm. You're not coming in here. So we're going to receive the offering today, and Billy and I are going to pray over your offering and over your finances.
Hallelujah.
So you decide, you don't have time to do it at the moment, but you decide, you jot down what you're going to do in the offering, and you just listen to the Lord, and Billy and I are going to pray and believe God. The Amplified Bible says, remember this, he who sows sparingly and grudgingly will also reap sparingly and grudgingly. And he who sows generously that blessings may come to someone will also reap generously and with blessings. Let each one give as he has made up his own mind and purposed in his heart. Mm-hmm. You listen to your heart and you decide what you're going to do, not reluctantly or sorrowfully or under compulsion. For God loves, he takes pleasure in, prizes above all other things, and is unwilling to abandon or do without a cheerful, joyous, prompt to do it giver. Now we're going to pray over on this verse right here. And God is able to make all grace, every favor and earthly blessing come to you in abundance.
That's abundant.
That
life
settles the issue. So that you may always, I love this, mm-hmm, under all circumstances and whatever the need, be self-sufficient, possessing enough to require no aid or support, mm-hmm, and furnished in abundance for every good work and charitable donation. When we first began to believe God for finances, this was the scripture right here. Mm-hmm. And then it says in verse 11, thus you'll be enriched in all things in every way so that you can be generous. Now you sow today in faith. Billy and I are going to pray for your finances right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, I'm asking you to look on the hearts of the people. Look at their offering, Lord, and take account of it. We receive it in Jesus' name. And we believe for the poverty spirit to be broken over them in the name of the Lord Jesus, and for your will and your abundance to be manifest. We listen, all of us listen, and we do what you tell us to do financially, for we know that our deliverance in financial things is from you. And so you tell us what to do, we'll do it. We thank you for the blessing. We thank you that you raise the poor up out of the dust. And I can testify that that's a fact.
Thank you, Lord.
And we give you all the praise. Yes. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' wonderful
bless
name.
Your people in the name of Jesus. Now receive it. Begin to act when you sell your money, when it's at church, when you tithe, wherever. Release your faith. Believe God. Hey, join me and the Copeland girls next week on the Believer's Voice of Victory. We'll have a great time together. This is Gloria and Billy reminding you that Jesus is Lord.